So what's wrong with the civil service of the United Kingdom? You might say just about everything. Once it was seen as the envy of the world, the Stafford Northcote reforms in the mid-19th century, so named after the two pilot politicians who pioneered it. No more jobbery, no more nepotism by competitive examination. Thought to be renowned for its incorruptibility, its efficiency, its impartiality, giving disinterested advice to government ministers of whichever political colour, carrying out the instructions of ministers to the best of their ability. So the ministers are usually members of parliament, sometimes they're in the House of Peers, so they are politicians with a democratic mandate, not so much with one of the Lords, but 9 out of 10 ministers come there by the House of Commons, and so governments change from one party to another every few years. The civil service is permanent. You can join at 18, stay to the day you retire. It's the last job for life. Unless you really disgrace yourself, that's it. Job security. And 40 hours a week, it really means 40 hours. Now, there are exceptions and some very high-pressured roles, like Priti Patel, who was Home Secretary of the Conservatives. She was detested in the civil service, I can tell you, partly by dumping loads of work on someone's desk right before 5 p.m. on a Friday and saying demanded to be done by Monday, meant working through the weekend or longer hours and stuff like that. Now, civil service salaries are usually not that high, but the deal was job security. It was a very considerate employer. It was a low stress environment and so on. And then you grow into the job, you get better at it doing it decades. But do they get too complacent? And as a employment solicitor in the civil service told me they are unsackable unless they do something truly horrific. But the Conservatives always wanted to slim it down. I remember Michael Howard in 2005, then Conservative leader, saying put fat government on a diet, pointing out how more and more functionaries been employed by the state. So remember, the Conservatives are supposed to be the party of the small state. But in the 14 years of Conservative administration recently, the number of civil servants increased. That's partly because of legislative hyperactivity, or should I say diarrhea. And leaving the European Union is meant to simplify things, get rid of unnecessary red tape, streamline everything, and get the government off the backs of the people. And that's certainly the kind of thing that appeals to me as someone who leans in a libertarian direction. He who governs least governs best, as Thomas Jefferson said. But being a minarchist, the night watchman state. But the Conservatives, despite their ideology, have done exactly the opposite of what they promised, and it's increased. And yet it's become sclerotic. Now, not saying that all civil servants are bad. So paper shufflers, as someone called them, all right, some paperwork has to be done. They have to collate data. You know, forms have to be filled in. This is to do with birth certificates, marriage certificates, death certificates, who owns what in the land registry, getting citizenship, getting your passport issued or your driving license, or the government wants to do whatever new scheme, and then to make that possible. This is how we think it could be done. These are possible obstacles. This is how we could surmount them. We give a timescale how long we think it will take. We estimate the cost. If we think it's just unfeasible, we'll say so. If the government says go ahead anyway, then the civil service have got to do their best to make that happen. But both Labour and Conservative governments have accused many civil servants of being sympathetic to the other party. Tony Blair, when he's in government, said, you pull the handle and nothing happens. And, you know, Conservative ministers have said, oh, the civil service, they are congenitally left-wing. I mean, they're mostly graduates. They're all under 67. They mostly live in London or other big cities. They're public sector employees. You'd think that about 90% of them are anti-conservatives. Now, you could be an anti-conservative and nevertheless be dispassionate and do your level best to implement policies that you vehemently disagree with. But that's rather unlikely. Perhaps some of them really are that superhuman, that objective and fair-minded. But I would suspect some of them do try to be a little bit obstructive. And there might be a few right-wingers. I would think of very few right-wingers who are unsympathetic to Labour, or actually people who are far left, who think Labour isn't left-wing enough. Anyway, so the Cabinet Office Minister, Pat McFadden, says there's going to be dramatic reform. Now, the Cabinet Office is the... that's really the Prime Minister's department. It's to coordinate between all the other departments and ministries. And to demarcate, this is your area, that's your area, and to bang a few heads together, right? If the Treasury and the Ministry of Defence are not cooperating, it's to make sure that they do. Anyway, so McFadden says the civil service has got to be smaller. Remember, there were strikes in the civil service under the Conservative years, all been called off. There have been public sector, inflation busting, pay rises. But where's the productivity? If we pay you more, you ought to do better. And in COVID, obviously, civil service largely worked at home. Now they're back in the office. And some departments like Jacob Rees-Mogg, when he was a cabinet minister, Conservative MP, he's out of parliament now, saying they had to work in the office, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they want to be able to work from home largely. But wait a second, why shouldn't they? Unless there's a particular need to be physically present, why shouldn't they work from home? If it's good for morale, if it's good for retention, do it. Say, and by the way, as you're saving on travel costs, we'll cut your salary to reflect that. It saves you a lot of time and stress. Sometimes the commute's the worst part of your day. Being crammed in like a sardines into a bus or a train, especially in the winter, big jacket, there isn't enough room to take it off. You overheat, stressed out. When it's cancelled, when you're stuck in traffic, when there's delays, oh my God, it's horrific, carrying heavy stuff. It's okay for me, I'm tall, I'm up in the fresh air. Some people are down at armpit level. Performance-related pay to be brought in, a great idea. Labour is the party of big government and the civil service, very sympathetic to the trades unions, and of course it's very unionised, the civil service. So the Conservatives, they had an ambition to reduce the civil service numbers by 12%. I mean, it could be like up or out. Right. And then there's also the revolving door between people who drop the tax code and then leave and become tax consultants almost immediately. So I don't want to demonize the civil servants, say that they're not all idlers, they're not all inefficient. Kemi Badenoch said 10% of them are so bad they ought to be in prison. Wow. So here we go. Anyway, so there'll be more apprenticeships, there'll be more digital work done, and data civil servants, okay, and that needs to increase. And I don't see, I actually agree with Labour's idea of moving them out of London in many cases, because what needs to be in London, maybe the Ministry of Justice, because the courts are there, the Foreign Commonwealth, and whatever, Department of Foreign Commonwealth and International Development Affairs, used to be called the Foreign Office, to meet the foreign diplomats. I don't know, maybe the Ministry of Culture shouldn't even exist, actually. But, you know, the theatres and one of the fashion shows are mostly in London. I'm not sure what else really needs to be there. The Treasury, because bankers are there. But like other things like Department of Transport, that could be anywhere. Or Department of Education, it could be anywhere, really. And to move them to economically depressed areas like Sheffield or Hartlepool or wherever to spread the money around. I remember some ministries are for the whole United Kingdom, not just South Britain and so forth. So the public sector unions like Prospect are not happy about this. And the difficulty thing about moving people out of London is they say, no, I want to be in London. You know, my spouse is here, my children at school here, my family and friends, I don't want to go. So you'd have to say, well, we're not going to move instantly. We'll give you like 5 years to make up your mind, or maybe move to another department might allow that, or you're going to have to leave or something like that. But then it would free up office space, it would save a lot of money. If we had fewer offices, that would save public money. It'd be good for the carbon footprint, not lighting or heating so many buildings, and. So I think there's a room to slim it down, because, you know, in 2016, there were 384,000 civil servants, the lowest number since the 1940s. That was some progress. But then it has mushroomed up to 515,000 in 2024. So that there is increasing like almost 50% in only 8 years. Wow. Do we get more done? Has it made life better? Has it increased the efficacy of government? Surely not. So something's going wrong here. And it's got to be at least some of the civil servants. Oh, it's always the politician's fault. All right, in some cases, that's true. Preeti Patel, she was got rid of, found to be bullying. So was Dominic Raab. But I do know someone who's very senior in the parole service. And he said that Preeti Patel wasn't harsh. If she was firm with people, because she's a Tory, they would call that bullying. But she was respected by some people in certain parts of government. I shan't say which, being willing to get up in the middle of the night to sign an authorisation for certain government services to do things. This is one of the rare instances where I actually do agree with Labour. Even Labour can get things right occasionally, and somewhat sympathetic to the civil servants wanting to work from home. Yeah, save the carbon footprint, fewer cars on the road, fewer passengers on the train or bus. Right, what do you think? Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.